Hey, I'm Brad. I'm the host of your favorite short devotional podcast called Your Weekly Calling. And by short, I mean 6 minutes because, let's be honest, that feels respectful. Each week, it's just a quick thought about faith in real life. Not a lecture, not a guilt trip, just something helpful for your week ahead. If you can spare 6 minutes, sometime between your first cup of coffee and asking, wait, what do I have to do today? You can listen. Your Weekly Calling is on the Hopecast Network. It's quick, honest, and done before your week really gets going.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Lots of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the Queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the Queen Bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Heart Conviction Podcast, episode 21. Welcome, Sally. I'm Nina Palmer. Once upon a time, I was Nina Rayner. Welcome in. We're happy to have you. I am post-funeral, and as you all know, it doesn't even all sink in until after that. I'm doing another episode with camera off. Let that say something. I'm exhausted. I was in Ohio this week for my grandfather's funeral, if you listened to last week's episode. And I'm just having those post-funeral blues, you know, where you kind of just crash out and you feel all the feels and my eyes are still so puffy. I'm in those days where my iPhone's face recognition doesn't recognize me. Do you know those days? The ones where you're already feeling like, okay, I know I look a little subpar. And then your phone's like, yeah, I don't know who you are. It's not you. Thanks, iPhone. Basically calling me ugly. Getting called ugly every time you go to turn on your phone. It's, you know, it's salt in the wound. But, you know, I'm trying to just take it in strides. I am also not 100% sure where I am or what planet I'm on right now. Am I in a pure state of denial over a passing? Perhaps. Am I in a pure state of denial of, do I live in Texas and basically the middle of like a blizzard? Yes. Full denial. They were trying to tell us all week that we were going to get very bad weather. And I was like, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I just couldn't mentally handle it. And I thought that I moved to Texas to not do this, right? I mean, isn't this the whole point? Is this why I lived here? I swear to you guys, I'm in such denial. All I keep saying is, this is some Ohio stuff. This is some Ohio stuff. This is some Ohio stuff. It's like, where am I? You know, and especially coming out of Ohio where it was cold and snowy and then it coming here. And I was very boastful when I got to Ohio and I was like, do you know it's in the 60s where I came from? Like, I you know, I had a tank top on. My pride got me. A real Titanic moment, if you will. But the good news is only, you ready? So here you are feeling justified, like, aha, the Ohioans listening. But here's where I get justified. It all ends Monday. So it's like 4 days and then it will be warm again and it'll melt the snow and that'll be that. And then we'll be done with the winter. So it's fine. It's actually kind of maybe been, oh, dare I say, like therapeutic for me to just have a few days where everything's closed, everything's shut down, and to just do nothing at home for a few days and sit with the feels. We need that sometimes too. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. But I give a shout out this week to my friend Liz Nelson. I love you. She is a faithful listener and enthusiast about all the topics and comments on everything and just follows the show. And she's a friend of mine, old coworker. We used to work together. And I just want you to know I appreciate you and you're a real one. What I like about you is you just support everybody and everything they do. I really believe that that trait in people is something really genuine. Like the ones that kind of cheerlead for everybody and cheer everybody on. And you really hold that kind of gem quality in you where you make the effort and you're interested in the people that you know and you invest into what they do in their lives. And I even just remember you buying little jewelry off the kids that would come sell it where we were working. And, you know, yes, of course, I'll take three of them, you know, and I just appreciate you. So shout out to her. I love people that support people's projects. You know, I have people that I love dearly and, you know, they're not real interested in what their friends are doing and they don't keep up on their stuff and whatever, but not Liz. And it's just a beautiful quality in somebody. So I hope to be more like you in that area. So I appreciate you. Thank you. I wish you guys could see me right now. I am just camera off, blanket on, face mask on. Normally I want to show up to present to these episodes, but boy, to go from winter to winter and cold to cold and sad, emotion to emotion. And we are just barely surviving out here, but I was still excited to come talk about this. So let's go ahead and get into our topic. And we're going to talk about good and evil. And this here's where this topic gets dangerous. The danger in this is it feels like a very basic and common topic. You've always known what good and evil is. You know the cartoon characters of it with like the little devil and the little angel on the shoulder of and everything. I remember it being in Looney Tunes, like Tom and Jerry and everything. And it's this topic that we feel familiar with. We know where we stand on it. And, you know, we believe we're the good guys. We're on the side of good and we love good things and you probably do a lot of things right in your life. But this conversation is weighty. It's serious. It's heavy. It's this concept that you grasp and you really pick a side and you kind of start living your life through the filter of good and evil. Do you guys ever have those pivotal moments in your life where it kind of changes everything? Oprah would call it an aha moment. The Bible would call it renewal of your mind. You probably have these pivotal points in your life where you thought one way and then it became another way. And it's not easy at all. Spiritual breakthrough is difficult. I'll tell you the number one thing that I see most followers of Christ struggle with is when they were not actively living out a specific element within the Bible or within the faith or within instruction or what Jesus did. And they were living without it, like ignoring it or not taught it or told by whatever denomination they're in or faith they're in or pastoral direction they were under, told that like this is a part of the Bible that like is antiquated or misinterpreted or we don't follow. And then all of a sudden, they realize that it's this like critical part to really living out this walk with God. And it's embarrassing, almost like personally embarrassing. Like, man, how did I miss that? And how did I not see that? And we should be continually looking for like a level up. I always describe it as like a video game. And it's like next level, you know, next level of Christianity, next level of your faith, next level of what God can trust you with and your understanding. And in getting deeper and braver and more bold and realizing that our faith doesn't have to look like the people we know, the people around us or our parents' faith or the people we're with. It can be very unique and individualized and special and powerful. And it should be continually. Can you hear my little foster puppies? We're having a cuddle puddle right now. See, it's the only way we're functioning between blizzard and sorrow. I don't know if you can hear them making little cute puppy grunts in the back, but this is how we're surviving. Snacks, blankets, Jesus. But anyway, you will find yourself in your faith having to wrestle things out and question things. And the church is feeding us so many more like inspirational messages these days that we are not having a sturdy foundation. And I think it's hurting the church as a whole. We are missing these kind of pivotal conversations that felt like once upon a time were had way more in a church setting. And we need to get back to the basics of the word and scripture and this concept of the gospel that is reiterated throughout the whole text of the Bible over and over and over again. And, you know, we're living off spiritual appetizers, if you will. And we got to get to some real bulk protein, the main course of what we need. And we're really doing Christians an injustice by not doing that. I'm concerned for the church in those areas. And for those who don't know the Lord yet, or you haven't found your faith yet, you need this conversation. And even if you feel firm that, you know, it's just not for you, religion's not for you, I want to invite you to the conversation of good and evil. And what's cool is that we all have common ground of good and evil, and nobody is immune to it. You've seen it. You know it. And very, very seldomly is there somebody who hasn't witnessed it. And if you haven't witnessed pure evil, I question if you haven't been sort of desensitized by media, by social media, by true crime, by music and all the things. But real evil exists. And if you look around and if you see it, let's talk about it from a light perspective. How about people that are real nasty, real mean? If you've had somebody talk to you poorly, treat you poorly, diminish what you are, that can feel so heavy and so dark that it's not just, oh, they're mean, or oh, it's their insecurities. It can be sourced from something bad. And disclaimer, I'm going to say some fairly grotesque things, if you will, but you might want to pause this if you have kids listening. But I want you to really think all the way back to what exists in this world and the absolute horrific things that people do to other people. The gruesome murders, if you look at like the actual reality of what those things are, and we kind of take away the entertainment element to it, that's not just mental health. It's not just, oh, they went cuckoo. It's evil to end somebody's life, to fantasize about doing that. It's evil. And the things that people do to bodies and beyond is unspeakable. And if you really want to stare evil in its face, I think the grossest thing that can happen that can be a representation of evil are the absolute vile things that people are willing to do sexually to children. And it goes on a lot. And it goes on a lot more than we think. And I would think that the more you get to know people, is anybody else just continuously shocked at how many people in your life experienced sexual abuse? And the elements of that are even more brutal. And that is evil in its purest form. And we can't call it anything else. Don't diminish it and give anybody a pass in any direction. It's the pure evil that is cast over everything. And I think sometimes we live in a society that is so preoccupied with entertainment and hobbies and pretty pictures and movies and music and concerts and vacationing that we kind of forget this like nitty-gritty brutal reality of what actually goes on. When you start seeing it firsthand, or growing up around war, or working with those who are needy and the poor, and when you start seeing it and not living in such a life with rose-colored glasses, you have a real better concept of it. See people struggle. You know, go to a third world country. I'm telling you, you go to a third world country and you will just question everything you've known to date, but you see real, raw, true evil. And there's a gift in that. There's a gift in that of the awareness of the enemy and his domain over a lot of this earth. You can see it in people's bad attitudes. I mean, how about the fact that there are parents out there who reject their children? You think that that's in God's plan, or that's just, you know, the way it goes. It's the enemy's influence. You know, the enemy wants to be an influencer. The devil wants a TikTok, and he's got him. And he'll do anything he can do to convince you out of it. And one of his biggest tactics that he uses is to kind of mellow out evil and what evil is, and to tell you, you know, evil's not that big of a deal, or that serious, or, you know, most things are good, or, you know, you just do you and you take care of you and avoid anything that makes you uncomfortable. That's all kind of this way to neutralize the brutal evil that's going on. I'll tell you a big thing that I hear a lot lately in a lot of podcasts specifically, or people I talk to, whatever, is tons of divorce and then the justification for divorce. And they will really spin it and be like, you know, this is actually good and it's positive. And there are circumstances where I believe it can be better than what it is. I have a lot of compassion for those situations, but I hear them speak on it as though it's positive. And I have to think to myself, this is the enemy's hand over this. And we love to talk about things in flowery ways and put a spin on it. But at the end, that's a tactic of the enemy too. And so what I want to invite you into is this headspace where you really see everything through a good and evil. There's not tons of gray area. I think very few things in this life are gray area. And you really start thinking before you speak, before you act, before you make decisions, before you do almost anything. Is what I'm going to do, or what I'm feeling, is it good? Or is it evil? And that feels basic, but watch when you get down to things like making a decision to cut somebody off, deciding to hold a grudge, choosing if you should help somebody or not help, or to give, or how to handle your offense, or to deal with somebody who's difficult. And then you really get to a place, you get good at the premeditated ones, then you really get to a place, and it's in the moment when you're arguing, when you're fighting, or even when you hear something come out of your mouth and you know that it wasn't right, it wasn't what God wanted, and you feel like, oh, that's not the way I'm supposed to do things. That's not the way I'm supposed to say things. And you pivot and you correct yourself quick. Instead of defending it, instead of justifying it, you stop and you go, I'm sorry, that was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. And it changes everything the more territory you claim. The more you make the right choice, the more you do good, the more you stray away from doing things your way, then you start to taste it and you get it and you know it, and you can say, I feel myself doing it the way that we're supposed to be doing it. There's tons of scriptures that back it up. One of my favorites is Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that they put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I quote the scripture verse all the time when I counsel people, when I think in my own life and conversations with anybody, I say it. And I feel like I wish that scripture was as popular as like John 3:16 or something, because we do it a lot. We do it a lot. Christians do it a lot. Non-Christians do it a lot. Where you do what you want to do, you say what you want to say, you function out of what you want to function out of, and you talk yourself into it, and you call it good, And we do this a lot. And I see people specifically do it when they want to cater to their offense. And they kind of forget all those parts in the Bible that say love unconditionally and forgive them. And they forget it and they go, yeah, but this is the exception. And we find ourselves always making exceptions for the parts of the Bible that we don't want to follow. And you'll hear me say this a million times, another injustice that the church is doing to the body of people is we're not giving like specifics on lessons. And we're kind of giving these lofty, pie in the sky, preachy, inspirational messages, but we need teaching, like real teaching, like in the Bible, where we say, when you are dealing with this, this is exactly how you handle it. And what we're doing is we're doing one of two things. We're choosing and picking the parts of the Bible we like that we feel like apply to the thing that we're able to do when it's easy or what we're comfortable with or what we feel like we're strong in. We pick those parts of the Bible. I have went to church with people who will be on the intercession team, the ministry team. They'll be elders. They'll work in leadership. They'll be doing administration within the church, teaching on Sundays, lots of really great things, but they don't have any skills when it comes to telling people about Jesus or no real passion about going into the world and telling people this message of Christ. And what they'll do is they'll say, well, that's not my strong suit, or that's not where I'm gifted, or I do it, but then it's been minimal. And if we put stuff through the good and evil filter, then we are forced to reckon with what's actually happening. And good is simple. It is the word. It is scriptural. It is something that leaves you feeling better. It's being good to those around you. Goodness is a hard word to describe. Ask people to describe the word good and you stumble all over it. But it's what's right. It's what's just. It's what's done well. And it's good. Something that is good. It comes from a good place. It represents goodness and the good things. And bad or evil is very true to that too. It's selfish. It cuts off connection. It spoils things. It leads to destruction. And wake up. I pray whoever hears this right now that you will come out of the fog of the blurred lines and the gray area of what is in between good and evil. That you will not have sweet water flow out of the same area that sour water flows from. And it's a real gift when somebody says to you, is this good or is this evil? Which one is it? Here's some nitty-gritty prime examples. Okay, you ready? Prep your heart because these ones are going to sting a little. They can hurt. You might feel a little like ping, ouch, 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 ouch. Your relationships in your life. That's from your spouse to your parents, to your siblings, to your family, friends, ex-friends. Are you kind to them? Do you love them unconditionally? Do you give and give and give without expecting in return? Do you show up for them? What we do is we say, I'm comfortable loving this person or forgiving this person, offering with this part because I feel good about it. That's not how we're called to love. And so this is what happens. When you reject instruction on how to love and how to be good to people, it's not neutral. It now goes on the side of evil. The enemy has talked you out of scripture. You have justified not following the greatest commandment to love and to love one another and to love your brother more than yourself. And what we do is we say, well, we think we are always the exception. We are always the exception to every. I understand what the Bible's saying, but you know, they don't know how bad this is, or I got to do this for me. You're talking yourself out of it. And so then this is what happens. it becomes a notch for the side of evil. Very little is gray lines. Very little. When you pick and choose the Bible, or I see a lot of Christians pick the parts of Christianity they like, right? So the music, the worship, the songs, the verses, the inspirational aspect of it, and the encouragement, the tender parts of it, the love. Being a Christian is really gritty. It hurts. It's a path less taken for a reason. And when you're kind of taking this like easy part of it, you're missing the complexity of the grit with the fluffy part of it. I love all the feel good stuff too. But in those moments of really seeking the Lord and hurting and feeling the rejection that Jesus felt, standing up for what's truth when it's not popular and people leave you over it, you have not walked the walk of faith or experienced Christ-likeness. The goal is to be like Jesus. That man felt rejection over and over and over again. And we will avoid getting our feelings hurt. And we will call it doing right. It's not. And the closer I get to Jesus, the more I realize it makes people mad. Because I want to do things his way. I'm like, hey, there's nobody who will get more mad at you about wanting to do something scripturally than a Christian who isn't doing it scripturally. And I love you, but we don't want checked. We don't want our hearts checked. We don't want to do things that way. And you can go through this whole life and ride the Christian wave and dip in and out of devotionals and worship songs. But until you count the cost and you bear the sacrifice, that's the sacrifice that's serving Jesus, you will have not really walked out a Christian faith. And so I beg you to look at good and look at evil and really evaluate what that means in your life and really get before the Lord and go over the scriptures of good and evil. It shows it in the Bible as opposing forces. It's not something just, I think we go in two ways with it. We either look at it as something very minor, like the evil is the bad attitude. And as long as we have a good attitude, we stay good. It's not. It's principalities of light and darkness. It is this driving force of evil that wants to keep you distracted or lonely, angry, isolated, preoccupied, too busy. And it's rebellion when we only allow ourselves to be corrected and checked in the parts of Christianity that we want to. So I urge you, believers, to choose good and to overcome evil with good and be open to seeing the evil in your life. Another huge one is health and weight. You know, we'll call it a struggle. We'll say it's our weakness. We'll say it's just something I've always dealt with, or I've done what all I can do. And here we are not able to fulfill our call in this body that we're given. But we look at it as a gray area. Brother, sister, it's evil. It's evil winning. It's the evil coming over. Go back to Isaiah 5:20. It says, woe. To the one who calls good evil and evil good. It's dangerous. In Romans 12, it talks about overcoming evil with good. And that's in your own life too. Do it in small little areas. But start listening to that ping that goes off in your heart. It almost kind of hurts, right? Look for the fruit in it. And then start looking up scriptures. It starts off around the Deuteronomy area, I believe. Yeah, around the area where it starts talking about the choices you make set off life and death. And that feels like such a lofty concept for us that we struggle with it. But the health of your relationship with good and evil is setting off life and darkness and death and good into your whole family. That's generational curses. that's the burden you put on people in your family or in your church family or in your life. There's blessing and curse behind all of that too. Don't let yourself make the standard of what is good and evil. Our society will influence that. We will influence that. And we will kind of just tell ourselves like, okay, this is the bar of good. I would highly suggest doing it off of God's standard and allowing yourself to really come into agreement with what He has established and calling the Christians to abandon many, many things that we're not willing to. We're presented the choice between the side of good and evil. That I think Deuteronomy talks about that too. And you enter into agreement with both of them. I can tell you the majority of people need to self-reflect, as we always talk about, and see where you've came into agreement with evil. That can even be under anxiety, depression, that kind of thing, where we think it's medical or we think it's just something that was bestowed upon us. Often you have entered into a place where you have given evil territory to have that domain in your heart and who you are. Then there's action. The Bible's constantly calling us to action. Rarely does the Lord say, here's a struggle, just sit with it. Here's something you'll be burdened by with, just take it. There's usually all these scriptures of action, and you see it really come into play in the middle of the Bible and past. In Psalms, it talks about how to actively turn from evil and good, and that the call to believers to do that is even higher. Your witness in choosing good over evil is critical also to those who don't believe. And there are all these consequences to that within your heart and within your life. Also, I'm going to give you a really good example. Many, many, many of us deal with little mental holdups and glitches, OCD, that kind of stuff, right? We all have it. A lot of people deal with it, different levels, different kinds of spectrum, whatever. And if you know me, I have my specifics that I struggle with. I get grossed out pretty easy. I get a little germy. I'm like that person that's not dying to drink after people, and I just get a little grossed out. And I wish it wasn't so. It would make mission trips and such so much easier. But it is, and it's a little issue. And it was really bad when I was a kid and a teenager, and I had more kind of OCD things than I ever have. And I would remember certain things that would gross me out and like avoid touching spots in my house or things I own, whatever, forever over it. It was really bad. And I will tell you, I was in Bible school, and this lady comes, and she was like a prophet, and she was praying over us, and she gets to me, and I don't know her all that well. And if you kind of know how like prophetic ministry works or prophets work, they're really able to pray over you and get some spiritual insight on things that are pretty high. If you're a person that pursues spirituality like on a non-Christian way, you're really probably craving that aspect of the Bible. The Bible always talks about prophecy, and it's a real form of encouragement. And it's just a really, really cool part of God. And our culture, our current culture, is groaning for it. It's groaning for it. And it's really cool that we even have that ability to have that gift. But she came in and she was praying for me. She didn't know me. And she was praying for all the students in there. And she was praying for me for a long time. She got real serious, and she got real quiet, and she prayed for me for a while. And she said, and I was 18 at the time. And she said, I want to speak against the fear in your life. Now, I'm over here thinking, oh, lady, you missed it. You missed the ball. You don't know me very well. I'm not scared of nothing, lady. Okay. And that's on God. Like, I'm not scared of nothing. And she kept saying it. I speak against fear. I speak against the fear in your life. I speak against the fear. She said it repeat. And I thought, I'm going to have to nicely tell her after this, like, hey, you got the wrong girl. Maybe it was the girl beside me. And finally she said, I speak against the fear of germs, the fear of germs that is holding her back and robbing her of her destiny and her calling. And I'm telling you, it took me out. I fell to my knees on that floor and I got delivered, and I deeply sobbed, and let it go and released just this absolute burden that I believe in time would have got worse had I not wrestled it out right there in that moment. Now, I still struggle a little bit. You guys know I have my quirks. There are certain things that I just can't do, but it doesn't control me. It doesn't run me. I can tough through it sometimes. And I took a really brutal mission trip to Africa right after that. And my dad said the only way he felt good that I would go is because I had gotten delivered in this. Now, that would have been easy for me to go, you know, it's OCD. It's something I just battle. I deal with. It's medical. I can't shake it. I can't help it. I can't fight. But to submit to that and to give to that and to not claim God over it and to surrender it to Him and say, it's really this fear, even if it is medical, I believe God is a healing God and He can heal those things of us. And He deserves to have every single aspect submitted to Him. And the areas you think that are just of this world or just of flesh or just normal, it really could require some submission from God. And then the Bible talks about that in the form of action, to actively turn against evil. That changed my whole life when I did that. And the fact that we did so many impactful things on that mission trip to Africa, think about this, the fear of germs, the fear of one of the smallest components or entities in the life as we know it as germs was going to affect the kingdom of God. Now, if that's not enough to blow you backwards, I don't know what it is. So think about how impactful your marriage is, the health of your marriage is, your relationship with church, the way you treat people, the way you take your calling serious. It all really matters. And then what is the Bible if we don't talk about the topic of overcoming? Constantly, it talks about how we are able to overcome. And later on in Romans, it goes on to say it's that we're commanded to not be overcame with evil, but to conquer it with good. The Bible is continuously talking about light versus darkness. Even in Ephesians, it goes on to talk about who do you associate with, and you being saved and dedicated to the Lord and doing well and strong in many other areas does not mean that you are not in covenant in certain areas of your life and you're not doing it God's way. And run everything you do through a good and evil filter. Those who aren't real good at communicating with people, cutting people off. It's real trendy in our society now to say, just protect yourself and cut people off. Put that through a good and evil filter. Is it good? Is it evil? It's pretty basic. It's pretty basic what it is. It's not good. And you don't get too many gray areas. That means that it now plays for the team of darkness. And it's not a easy pill to swallow. But it goes on in 1 John later to say that it is obvious of those who are the children of God, or it says the children of the devil. And it says, in order to be a part of God's team, you have to practice righteousness. You have to practice it. It says, the one who does not love his brother does not define good, and it is evil through lawlessness. Whoa, that could just knock me off my couch right now. Knock me out of my comfort, my little comfort bubble I'm trying to create. Lawlessness. It means you made your own rules and you made your own laws to how this was going to work. You kind of tweaked the Bible for yourself. Well, I know it says that, but in my case, we all want an exception. We all want an exception to restoration and obedience and the scripture and what's right and following in line. We all want the exception. You're not. Do not let the devil influence you. He is this like ultimate influencer, but it's a call to action to really work on the things that you need to work on. And the Lord will start putting in on your heart to be selfless and to walk a life that's set apart or not popular. You will make tons of people uncomfortable along the way when you choose to defend good. It's hard. But boy, is it rewarding. So we're going to talk more about this in the episodes to come, but this was a little introduction into good and evil. And start doing it. Start doing it in your everyday life. from the moment you wake up. How about when you start complaining, when you start griping, when you see your family in the morning? Are you warm to them, kind, encouraging? Are you pleasant to be around? Okay, that's not just because you're not a morning person or you're grouchy. It's a submission to evil. It's lawlessness. You made your own rules. You said, well, yes, I can try to be like Christ and follow Jesus, but I get to be grouchy in the mornings. All the way to how you lead and what you're like at work and how you show up with integrity. Do you do things well? Do you do things right? To how you treat people within your church? Do you have a real passion to tell people about Christ, or are you passively witnessing a few times a year? There's a huge difference. And so at any age, at any stage, even if you're in your 70s or 80s, I ask that you reevaluate, because if you're still here, you're supposed to still be here. And it's up to you to really come into new agreement with goodness and what is right, and to combat the evil over your life. Self-talk is not just, oh, where you downfall. It's evil speaking to you. It's evil speaking to you. Being a huge consumer in this society, it's not just, oh, I love to shop, or, oh, I live in this society. It's a tip of the hat towards the direction of evil. It goes on and on and on. And so start at the beginning of your day and walk yourself through it. How about indulgence, pure indulgence? I see a lot of it. We want to justify it. We like it. We need it. It's how I live my life. You drinkers, I'm talking to you. There's very few areas that are gray. It's either a notch for good or a notch for evil. I leave you with that. Think about it. Chew on it. Conversation you need to have. It is. And don't be shocked if God asks you to adjust, shift, or renew your mind. So I'll reference this episode quite a bit. We need it. We need this topic. And get real good at getting uncomfortable. Get real good at God calling you to more. Tons of scriptures and stories in the Bible where people wanted it one way, did things a certain way, lived a certain way, and then God shows them or reveals to them a life that's dedicated to righteousness. It's a serious calling. It's going to require a whole difference. And the way you judge if you're there is if your life has the fruit of the Spirit. Are you really good at unconditional love? Do you have abundance and joy? I know very few Christians that function out of pure joy. Do you have peace? How good is your patience? How good is your self-control? Gentleness? If you're struggling on those, the enemy has won territory and it's time to win it back. We are going to be back here next week. We're getting ready to do some love specials in lieu of Valentine's Day. We're going to do an episode on marriage. We're going to do an episode on being single and real love and friendship love. And so I think it's going to be a goodie for anybody who is on any side of the love spectrum. So please join us. Hey, would you do me a really big favor? Could you please go give me 5 stars? If you like the podcast, no matter where you listen to it, will you go rate it? Don't leave me 4 stars, okay? I need the 5. If you'd leave me 5 stars, it would mean so much to me. I love you guys. We will be back next Monday. Have a good week, and be warm. Okay, we'll talk soon. Bye.